I found it interesting about Chief Fred Lookout. Interesting person. You could probably tell the story. He was 10 years old when he joined his family and tribe on a 150-mile walk to the new Osage Mission.
That's a family story I just was told. He walked with certain young boys that about his age. One of them later became assistant chief to him, Franklin Shaw. We've heard about that. Also heard from those same sources of my great uncles and aunts and my grandparents. That last buffalo hunt we had right before we came here was not very successful. But that was a big event back in the day, I was told.
So Printful Chief Lookout, he was Principal Chief 1913 to 1914, reelected 1916 to 1918, and then from 1924 to 1949. So the thing that got my attention here was looking out for the oil leases of the Osage. And then, since I have read the book Killers of the Flower Moon by David Gran, and that begins in 1921 and on to the 20s and all that, so would your great-grandfather been around for what became known as the Reign of Terror?
Oh, not only my great-grandfather, but my grandparents and uncles and aunts.
Your grandparents, what are their names again?
Well, Eugene. He's Standing Bear. He's a Lakota. And my grandmother, Mary, a Lookout, Standing Bear.
Let's follow up on Killers of the Flower Moon, as long as we have introduced it. It's a
great book.
Yes.
And you know why it's a great book? Because David Gran did his interviews with such respect for the families that were directly affected. And he took his time in getting to know the community. And then his research in the federal records and the records here was just spot on, very reliable.
It's the story of, I suppose, one of the biggest serial murder cases in American history, mm-hmm. and was forgotten. And of course, the setting was here in the Osage Indian Nation in the 20s. And then, of course, we bring in J. Edgar Hoover's FBI and all that. We can tell the whole story, but we want people to read the book and eventually see the film, which comes out in October.
John, if there's one thing I want to make clear, is although those events were 100 years ago, and I wasn't there, and I don't know anybody else that was there, there are a lot of family stories, yes. And that book is about the Gray Horse community, which is near here, about 25 miles. But there were other bad deeds done.
How old were you when you were aware of this Reign of Terror that we talked about?
Well, when I was in high school, the way I got to drive was to drive Grandma around to go visit her friends. And so I had my science fiction books. I like science fiction. And so I would go in with Grandma to go visit her schoolmates, who were all full-blood ladies, and spoke Osage to each other all in the morning, or we ate lunch with them, or in the afternoons. Why I didn't record any of this is I never thought the language would disappear so fast. So during this time, they would talk about so-and-so family and so-and-so family. And, oh, you know, there used to, I could mention names, but I don't want to. But there was so much of that family's, but they're all gone. And they say, well, you know, what happened to his father? And so, I heard them talking about it.
Okay.
But it wasn't me. I wasn't there.
Nor did you put together that all these murders were taking place?
Oh, we knew the murders taking place.
You knew that?
Mm-hmm.
like the 1921 massacre. You know, there were many generations who never heard about it.
Well, I didn't hear about it, even though I knew there was some troubles back then. But gosh, I was raised in Tulsa, 60 miles from here, and I didn't hear about it. But if you're living there and your families were there, I'm sure you knew all about it. You know where I learned about the Tulsa massacre there at 1921? Was in law school, my first year at Tulsa.
At the University of Tulsa.
Uh-huh. And I can't remember which professor it was, but we were taught there about, you know, what happened to the property records in Tulsa County, and which was relevant to the class and that subject. And we were told that part of that whole tragedy were people, lawyers and land, what they call landmen, going into the records and changing all the land records to the point where people that were doing the changing had to be pulled away from the books because they were getting paid, you know, property by property as they changed legal title at the Tulsa County records. Now, we were taught that my first year in law school.
What year was that?
It was 1976.
About this reign of terror when they were killing your Osage people.
Assassinating
them.
And a cold-blooded murder, putting, instead of insulin, putting poison into people. As David Grant said, it was who was not complicit. Because you had the funeral directors, you had the doctors, you had the lawyers, you had the judges, state judges, you had law enforcement, you had the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Who was not complicit? And David researched this, and he summed up his research in that book. Everybody was part of this madness. And if you weren't doing it, someone else was going to do it, and you were losing out.
Well, one of the masterminds was William Hale, Bill Hale.
Yep.
He was really a middleman of all of this.
Well, let's see. And I'll take you in the next room here, and I've got that panoramic photo that David Grand references in his book that's in the museum. And I asked some of the older folks, did you know him? And they said, oh, yeah, he was a nice guy. And I talked to different elders back there. And they said, yeah, well, we sat there and talked after he got out of prison. We sat there along that fence line, that barbed wire fence line. He pulled his vehicle up. We talked, and he would say, you guys are having a Native American church meeting. He would slaughter a cow for that that Osage family. And he was, among some of the Osage, he was considered a good guy, which just shocked me.
And tell us what he did.
What he did was, as the book reports, was a mastermind of one of, if not the largest conspiracy to deprive the Osage family, extended family, of their head right and their money by intermarrying and using this system here of probate with the courts and the laws of Oklahoma and federal laws to make it legal, except for the murder part, to make the descendants pass and the head right money to keep flowing to one survivor. And in that book, in the movie, it's the surviving sister who was married to Bill Hale's nephew, Ernest Burkhart, which is another strange situation, according to my view. I can't say everybody agrees with this, but he got out of prison and he was still over there. And my senior advisor, John Williams, who was an advisor on the movie, he told me, he goes, oh, I knew Ernest Burkhart. He goes, we all knew him over there when we were younger. And so the relationships are complicated. That's best explained by people from the Gray Horse community.
Right. But Bill Hale directed people to be assassinated. He set people up to be killed.
That's what I have read, and that's what I've heard. I wasn't there.
Well, if we believe David Grann, like you do, and the research he did, then that's a true story.
Well, remember, I was spent 35 years in courtrooms trying to find the truth in any situation is what we do. You go look at a car accident and talk to the witnesses, five witnesses, you're going to get five little bit different views.